kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Yay. I'm so excited to talk about Woodle Tree.
Would you rather talk about horse racing? What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me this episode is CJ. CJ, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good to hear.
Yeah, I mean,
that was great conversation.
I bought Evolve yesterday, if that makes you happy.
Oh, finally.
Or no, it was 2 days ago.
So
it
happy
came in a nice
you.
Sleeve and everything.
Oh, a sleeve?
Yeah, with the indents and the case. It was pretty thick.
In my lifetime, I think I have only ever bought one game from GameStop that didn't have the case and the manual and all that stuff. And I didn't even buy it. My sister bought it for me. And it was actually just like 2 or 3 weeks ago. One of the new backward compatible games on the Xbox One recently was, Eat Lead, The Return of Matt Hazard.
Yeah, I wanted to get that. Actually.
And I looked around and only one GameStop in like, a 60-mile radius had it, and it was where I used to live in Bloomsburg, PA, and my sister works at a Sally Beauty, like, 4 doors down from the GameStop, so I was like, hey, just go check and see if they have it, and she's like, they do, but it doesn't have the case or the manual or anything. I'm like, all right, don't worry about it, and she's like, are you sure? It's only 89 cents.
Wow. That's incredibly cheap.
So I was like, fuck it, whatever, so... So I have Eat Lead, The Return of Matt Hazard, only the disc that had marker on it, by the way, some number written on it, but I
don't know. I was just happy because, you know, normally at least a pre-owned game, you still get the case, but an actual sleeve that comes with it, and it's all nice. The disc is, like, not touched at all. It's basically like I got a new copy. Somebody took care of their copy of the game, and they traded it in.
Wow.
So I was happy to get that. And yeah. That's rare. A lot of times you get some horror stories out of these pre-owned games.
But, hey, I won't argue with 89 cents for the game.
True. And I mean, my only game that like that, it was like 30 cents, and it was NBA 2K6.
Even funnier is when my sister got it. She was like, I just give your phone number to, like, get your discount because, okay, normally it was 99 cents. I had the 10% off. But she gave my number, and the guy there was like, oh, Kamisa, how's he doing? I haven't seen him here in a while.
That's funny that they knew you by name.
So I've been away from that store for, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years now, and they still remember me.
That's crazy.
That's how I am with GameStop.
When I went there, I befriend people. I was talking to the dude because he didn't do any of like the pushing like pre-orders or anything on me. And he was being pretty cool, and he was like... I was like, man, you must have had a really busy day. He's just like, you have no idea, because Call of Duty released that day. And he was just like, he was dead inside. I felt bad for him.
Oh, have you heard about all the Call of Duty shit going? I guess that is something we could talk about this episode. Well, I guess we'll give a quick rundown of the episode. We'll chat a little bit about this Call of Duty stuff going on. We have a handful of reviews. It's going to be a VR-heavy segment, because... We were supposed to have a VR interview later this episode, but that kind of fell apart. And instead, we're going to have an interview for the game Gas Guzzlers Extreme that, hilariously enough, just came together in the half hour that we waited for our VR interview to show up and him not showing up and then just messaging this guy on Reddit and be like, hey, you're doing an AMA. You want to come do a podcast interview? And then we talked for an hour. So
that was so fucking ridiculous.
I love how that, and it was such a good interview too.
It was
hilarious.
Exactly. I love when a developer is actually having fun and not just there for making sales reasons.
It's his first interview that he's ever done. And it was, I thought he did an awesome job.
He did. He answered the questions exactly how he wanted.
Yeah. Like,
And he had fun with it, so hey.
And he knows other crazy people that have been on this show, so that's even better.
Those Croatians.
Call of Duty came out. I've seen some stats online where the Steam version is being played less than Farming Simulator.
Really?
Yes.
Like a Farming Simulator just on Steam or Farming Simulator in general?
Like the new Farming Simulator game, 2017 on Steam, has more current players than Infinite Warfare.
That doesn't surprise me as much as you'd think, considering Call of Duty's kind of dead on Steam.
And even the all-time max number of players for the game is higher for Farming Simulator than it was for Call of Duty.
Well, I guess Farming Simulator did a much better job of making a great action-heavy game than Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
I'm sure it doesn't help. Have you heard about how they've split up the PC gamers?
You mean with like Windows 10 actually connecting to Xbox Live?
Activision, well, it's not just Xbox Live, but Activision is selling Infinite Warfare for the PC on both Steam and on the Windows 10 store.
I know what you mean now. Yeah.
And those two versions, PC and PC, do not play together. So if you buy it for Windows 10 and your friend buys it for Steam, you can't play together. If you buy it for Windows 10 and your friend buys it for Xbox One, you can't play together. They are completely separate. And even Microsoft is like, listen, we support cross-play with Xbox and with PC. This is on Activision.
Yeah, I mean, because even just like, I mean, I understand the multiplayer section, but just not doing, like, the zombies mode could easily be compatible between, because it's just a co-op mode.
It's Activision has completely separated everything. There was a post on Reddit, which this is how it's getting so popular, where somebody posted a picture for Windows 10. There were two people online.
That doesn't blow me away. Look, seeing the numbers on TA comparing them to the Xbox One versions, the Windows 10 version of Infinite Warfare has 17 players, whereas the Xbox One version had 8,000 yesterday.
Yeah, that's not an exaggeration. That's not a joke. That's not a doctored screenshot. This guy posted a picture of him in an online lobby trying to match up a game, and it was him and one other guy looking for a game.
And it's two even people funnier.
Isn't enough to play a game.
Exactly. It's even funnier that Modern Warfare Remastered is actually sold, or actually has more players than the Infinite Warfare on Windows 10.
It is such a fucking train wreck.
It was a bad idea.
Two players. Process that. I guarantee you that there were more people at one time playing Horse Racing 2016.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Than the two people playing Infinite Warfare on Windows 10.
I mean, I can tell you right now, me and Shiz were both playing Horse Racing at the same time, so that's two people right there.
we've had more people on our Beam streams. Half our guests don't know what the fuck Beam is. And we've had more people watching us on Beam than we're playing Infinite Warfare on Windows 10.
They made such a mistake doing that.
We've had more hosts on this show than people that were playing Infinite Warfare.
Infinite Warfare on Windows 10 is already 20% off. They're already selling at a 20% off.
They launched it at that. And I think it was to try and get people to buy it on Windows 10 because there's no other reason to do it. If it was a Play Anywhere title, it would have been worth buying. If it played with other PC gamers, regardless of Steam or Windows 10, it would have been worth buying. The way it is, Activision, what the fuck?
Well, at least you know in the future you'll be able to get Call of Duty really cheap for Windows 10, probably.
Two people playing. Two.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
That is I don't know if it's sadder or funnier. I mean,
considering we don't really play Call of Duty on the show, I think it's just funny to us.
Speaking of shit that is hilarious to me, we are recording this on Sunday, and Sunday is kind of like a weekly holiday for me because I get to see the new ads for like Best Buy and Target and stuff like that and be like, hey, what's coming out this week? And this week is going to be the release of the PlayStation 4 Pro, which we will not be covering because I'm not going to buy one of those things. But Best Buy is actually running a deal where if you buy a PlayStation 4 Pro this week, you can get a free copy of the movie Sausage Party on 4K Universal HD Blu-ray.
It's even funnier because it's Sausage Party.
But can we see the problem with that sentence where you can get a free 4K Blu-ray disc if you buy a PlayStation 4 Pro? If our readers cannot connect the dots.
Readers?
Yes. If our readers and or listeners, hey, some people might read the description. If our listeners cannot connect the dots, the massive joke here is that the PlayStation 4 Pro does not play 4K Blu-ray discs. So you can get a free disc that you can't play on the machine that you're buying.
Yeah, they plan for you to buy an Xbox One S while you're at it.
Which is the cheapest 4K Blu-ray player you can buy at $299.
Oh, that is true. It's cheaper than an actual 4K Blu-ray player.
It is. It's the cheapest one on the market. So
that's a reason to buy it right there.
To be fair, you can also just get the Blu-ray version of the movie, and the 4K version does come with a standard Blu-ray disc as well. But why advertise a format you cannot play on the machine you're trying to sell?
Seems a little bit ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
And I find it funny just because it's Sausage Party as well. Like, who's really lining up to buy that movie?
Me.
I wanted to see it, and I was going to see it in theaters, and then I didn't. And now I'm like, from what I've heard, I'm happy I didn't go see it.
I still want to see it, and it's going to be $20 this week and come with a free t-shirt, so I'm probably going to do it.
I can understand that.
Or I could spend the $400 to get a PS4 Pro and get it for free.
Yeah, and then you can stream the movie over Beam.
Oh, man. So any other news that you've heard or that you want to chat about? I know there's rumors that this week is allegedly going to be some big Xbox backward compatible titles, but I haven't heard anything concrete yet.
Oh, I'm excited, but there is something that came up that's kind of interesting. I saw on my Twitter feed and I looked at it. So, you know Turtle Rock that did Evolve, and they worked on the Left 4 Dead?
Yep.
Apparently, they have found that there was an unfinished campaign with the files still intact in the original Left 4 Dead files. And you can now actually download that map and play it. The problem, it actually fits in between Dead Air and Blood Harvest, the third and fourth campaigns, I believe. And
that's nifty.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's unfinished, so there's a lot of problems with it, but people are expecting the community to actually work together and actually get this map finished themselves. But it's interesting to see that Turtle Rock Studios actually kept the files in the game instead of just getting rid of them.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a little Easter egg, in a way.
That's pretty neat.
I mean, it's cool for anybody that owns the original Left 4 Dead on PC. Those files, I don't believe, are in the second one.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure console gamers will never get that either.
Yeah, probably not, considering it wasn't actually released by Turtle Rock, this news.
Yeah.
It was just people that found it.
Good times.
But it's still pretty cool.
It is. It is. And at least it gives some positive news to Turtle Rock for once.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, I supported their game this week.
You bought it used. That's not supporting them.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, how does that work exactly? Like, pre-owned, do they not get, like...
They don't get anything. That's the problem with used games, is they don't get a penny. So you did nothing for them.
Oh, well, they took money, like, a year ago when I had it.
Oh, cool. The guy next door has to cut his grass, so now it's going to... I'm guessing the microphone is picking that up pretty well, huh?
Hey, now you're matching me.
Let me reach over here and close my window. Is that a little better?
Not really.
Fucking dicks.
Yeah.
Anyway, we do have a handful of reviews we got to get through, and we only have about 35 minutes until you need to cook dinner.
Well, I mean, I can be a few minutes. I don't have to be exactly five.
But, things are going to be kind of VR heavy today. We have four PlayStation VR games to cover. I know Uneaten Lake has two Vive titles to cover, and then you have our non-VR game for the week.
Because I don't have VR.
So, we might as well kick things off with Woodle Tree 2 Worlds, developed by Fabio Ferreira, published by Chubby Pixel. It released September 16th on Steam for $3.99. Woodle Tree 2 Worlds is an open-world platformer adventure video game. This time, the forces of evil are taking over the woodlands with a black substance that is absorbing energy and life from the living creatures. Will you be able to take over this enormous new evil force? CJ. Did you take over the force?
No. Kind of. A little bit. I did some force taking.
Okay, well, tell us about the game.
I wasn't good as a Jedi. Anyway, Woodle Tree 2 is a 3D platformer in which you play as a small log/tree person that has to collect magical water drops that were stolen from creatures who were corrupted by dark energy. Let's start with the good stuff. The game looks nice. It's very cartoonish and very kid-friendly. I don't know. I love the way all the enemies look. I like the way the characters look. There's no real graphical issues with clipping or anything, which is one of the very few things that didn't have issues. I don't know. I like that. The world is also huge. Like, massive. Possibly bigger than GTA 5. I don't know. So, for real.
So does this mean that you like big woods?
But there's plenty to do in the world. There's plenty to collect. There's even online and local co-op. And the music was pretty decent too. The gameplay is average for a 3D platformer. You have to jump from platform to platform while eliminating enemies and collecting stuff along the way. There is, as in all good 3D platformers, a double jump, which makes platforming very easy. The jumping is well done and the camera is well designed. There's even a glide mechanic to allow you to travel extra distance in air. Overall, the platforming is very crisp and precise. So, there's a really good point for a 3D platformer. It is well made.
Nice.
The hardest part about the game is the enemies. You can only take out small or flying enemies at first, with the first leaf in the game being not very powerful. And your weapon is a leaf that you shoot like wind balls from, sort of. Or just smack with the leaf. Pretty interesting.
So wooden balls.
Wooden balls, yes. You need to eventually upgrade to better leaves to take out the medium and bigger enemies. In the meantime, that means you have to dodge them to accomplish things that you have to, like activating a switch or sprouting a plant, which can take some time, like a few seconds. So you got to just kind of maneuver around and make sure that you don't get hit. Because I think you only get two hits. It's not very clear. There is no good HUD or UI system. So you can't really tell how many hits you have. And you have to pause the game to see how many berries you've collected in the map. It's really weird. I would like if there's like an actual HUD. These switches and sprouting elements are thrown in to give the game a more puzzlish feel and add a bit more challenge. And overall, they're welcome to the game and they're manageable. It makes the game have a little bit more, I don't know, feel to it. Like, you're not just jumping all over the place, you're doing other stuff as well. Sadly, there's also some pretty annoying problems with this game. One, there is no main menu, and instead just drops you into the game, and whilst there is a pause menu, it doesn't actually pause the game, and you still move, and when you press the buttons, like A, to select something, you jump in the game. So, the pause menu doesn't actually do anything, besides just allow you to select things. They're also just pretty bare and they don't have very many options and there's no way to configure key bindings, forcing me to play with a controller, which isn't terrible, but for somebody that doesn't have a controller or that plays left-handed, is kind of a problem. And you'd think at this point, it's 2016, games have had that for at least 15 years now. You'd think key bindings is kind of just a natural thing to be in games. But okay. Another problem with the menu seems to be that it's glitchy. I pressed resume at one point, and I know that I had it selected on resume. Resume was highlighted, and it quit the game anyway when I clicked it.
Weird.
Yeah. Really weird. And when I launched the game back up, my save data was gone.
Oh.
That's not the only time that's happened either.
Oh.
After that, I relaunched the game, found out that my save data was gone, and then I decided to try on the online mode by mistake, because I didn't know that you could just kind of walk into a bubble and now you're online.
Interesting.
When I died in the online mode, instead of going to the latest checkpoint like you normally would, it restarted the game and I lost everything again.
What the
I went the whole way back to the beginning, and also the game has a problem detecting how many berries you've collected. And in the online, I don't think the berries work at all. I had collected around 200 online, and the game still said I had zero. And in single player, it would take forever to update it. Like, it would say that I had 260-some forever, and then it was like, it finally updated to 490. So it doesn't keep a good track of that. While there are things I like about the game, and it has a tiny price of $399, the problems hold it back from a buy-it. I'd have to say that this game is cute enough to try, and maybe you won't have as many problems as I did, but I can't give it a buy-it. I'd have to say try it.
Makes sense. This sounds like some rough problems to have, so.
It seems like an early access game that's not in early access.
But then again, it's $4, so.
Yeah, I mean, the price isn't terrible. At least it's not like you're paying $10 for a game that doesn't
true.
Work. Right?
True. Very true. So, all right, let's tackle some PlayStation VR games. We started off with Woodle Tree that didn't sound like an amazing game, so let's jump right to an amazing game. Tethered, developed and published by Secret Sorcery Limited, it released October 25th on PlayStation VR for $32.99. In a magical skyborn world, take on the role of a powerful spirit guardian charged with restoring life and balance. Command the peeps, your loyal servants, to feed, fight, build, and sacrifice themselves for the greater good in a quest to release your entombed brethren. As the sun shines, harvest the island's bountiful resources, bend the very elements to your will, and prepare your peeps well. For in a night, evil denizens of darkness stalk the land, feasting on your resources, your crystals, and your peeps. This is basically a god game. You, like, kind of literally, where you are, like, everything takes place from your point of view, and you're basically just a god up in the sky. You can switch your viewpoint from cloud to cloud to get a different viewpoint on the land below you. And it is very, very like simulation god game style game where you get a peep, your servants, the little dudes that you control. And then you have to get resources. You have to hatch more peeps that are in eggs. You have to maintain their attitude and their joy and their food and resources in general. You have to harvest from like woods and mines and rocks and everything else. And as you gain more and more peeps, you're commanding them to run and do all their own different little tasks, creating new buildings. You can use the buildings to upgrade your peeps to like defenders, or they can be like a specialized miner or a farmer or something else to make your, the locations that have the resources be more productive. There's also, weather elements that are there. Like if your forest is running low, you can send a rain cloud over there to rain on it and replenish the trees and give more resources available. You can, you can use a snow cloud to freeze a river so that your peeps can cross back and forth. Or you could use wind to, like, blow a leaf down so you could reach a crystal. Or it's a really interesting, the weather effects are an interesting little dynamic. And you can even mix them where, say, if you mix two of them, you could either create like a storm cloud or a rainbow, which, you know, everything has their own different effects. Storm clouds could like turn into like a tornado that whips your peep like super speed to where they need to go right away.
It's funny that you can use that to your advantage.
It's such a cool little twist, and it's so cool to play a VR game that's not just like a wave defender game or like some kind of like hitting soccer balls or just shooting things. Like, this is a legitimate god game that just uses VR and pointing as the means for playing. And it's good that, like, even the tutorial on this game probably took me, I don't know, 40 minutes or so, which is longer than some VR games in general.
That's actually true.
It's... like, this is not a short game. I think a lot of people are going to see a $32.99 price tag and just be like, wow, that's really expensive for a VR game. A download-only VR game, by the way. There's no retail version of this. It's worth it. It is absolutely worth it with the amount of content in the game, the amount of time that you can spend playing these missions. You get graded at the end after you accomplish the task that you have to do. You accumulate the amount of crystals that you need. You get graded on like your performance of everything, how well you used the weather elements to help you, how well you defended your land against the monsters that attack at night. It encourages a lot of replay, and it's a gorgeous game too.
I was going to mention that the visuals look great. I love, especially like, I keep getting drawn to the water effects.
Yeah. The first time I did it, I stood up and reset the camera angle, because when you're playing PlayStation VR, you can hold the start button to basically reset the viewpoint to where you are. That way, if you moved over a bit, you can reset it. Or if the camera's like drifting off, you hold it and it resets everything. So I stood up and reset it so that I would be standing up. It would act like if I'm standing up to play. And then I sat down and I was like right up into where the river was. And it just looked so gorgeous.
God.
I just love doing that sometimes.
I actually really want to. God, every review I hear you talk about for PSVR just makes me wish I had a PlayStation 4 in VR more and more. This game would be one that I would want to play for sure.
Tethered, it's definitely a buy it. It's expensive, but it is worth it. It is a huge, long game. It is well made, well crafted. If you're not into simulation games like the Tropico games or like black and white stuff, like you might not really enjoy this as much, but it's very good at just easing you into the game. It doesn't expect you to be a pro at the genre right away. And it's just so beautiful too.
Such a good looking PSVR game.
Yeah. So Tethered, it definitely a buy this one. If you own a PlayStation VR, you owe it to yourself to pick this game up.
I wish I owed it to myself to pick up a PSVR.
Before you get a PSVR, get a goddamn microphone.
I know. I hate it so much.
On the flip side of things, let's talk about Weeping Doll, developed by Tianchi Media, published by Oasis Games, released October 27th on PlayStation VR for $9.99. An ordinary family, a beautiful home, but who's crying? Search the home, scour every room, and scrutinize over every detail to piece together the story that has been kept locked away all this time. This is basically a first-person puzzle game, like adventure puzzle game, with horror-ish elements. It's not a very scary game. There's some creepy elements to it. my biggest issue with this game right off the bat is everything looked so blurry.
Really?
I couldn't quite understand why. Like, if I was really close to something, it would kind of be in focus, but anything like slightly off in the distance just had this blur to it. And I thought maybe my headset was acting up. So I would like go back to the main menu, like the PlayStation home menu. Everything looked fine. I would fire up a different game. Everything looked fine. I went back to Weeping Doll and everything was just blurry. It was like Vaseline was just smeared over everything.
You think that was a design choice on purpose?
No, I don't know if it was an issue with the limitation of the hardware or if just the developers were still trying to get a handle of everything, but it was, I don't know, it kind of hurt my eyes after a while with how blurry it got. Eventually, I kind of got used to it and I tried to ignore the backgrounds. The game itself, I appreciate the movement in this game because a lot of games, come on, Potato, get off the desk. Stupid ass cats. A lot of games with the movement, like you might, you know, have a reticle on the ground that you'll like point at and then you'll just jump to that area. Or, I talked about in Loading Human, you would just move forward with one and then you would go left and right to like change your viewpoint. With this one, you would move the analog stick and you would see a ghost image of you and you would move it to where you want to be. So it was very good in helping you determine where you were going to go. It didn't allow you to go too far ahead, I guess, so that like the jump in visuals wasn't that jarring, or so that you wouldn't get too lost for where, how you were doing things. The gameplay itself seemed like very straightforward adventure puzzle solving. Go into a room. It's like, oh, the door's locked. I thought I saw a key underneath a flower pot. So you find the flower pot and you find the key under it and then you use the key. Go into the next room.
Is that obvious?
A lot of them are, yeah.
Oh.
And a lot of the rooms, like, you can't progress unless you finish the puzzles in the room. It's like, oh, I can't leave the room yet. I need to find something else in here. Just letting you know that. A lot of it, but it seems like this might be, I don't want to say like baby's first adventure horror game, but like it did seem very hand-holdy. Funny enough, I actually broke the game.
Interesting.
I don't know how far through the game I was. I want to say I was like 40, 45 minutes into it. There was a room that you go into and you open a closet and there's a doll in there that you talk to. It's like, it's wearing this person's necklace, whatever the fuck they're wearing. And a little audio cutscene would play where it tells you a story and then there would be like banging on the door. And after that, the door would unlock. You would go out and there would be this girl that you're like kind of following around the house. You would see her down the hall and she'll like peek around the hall and be like, hey, you got to follow her. This is where you're going next. And in case you were going too quickly, there's kind of like an invisible wall there.
Huh. That way you didn't progress before the story could be told?
Pretty much. So, I went through the room and there was like banging on the door and I was like, oh shit, I got to hide. Or whatever it was. So I quickly closed the closet door that the doll was in. I closed all the other doors in there and I just tried like hiding in a corner, but the guy never came in the room. And I was like, oh, I guess there was never any danger of him coming in. Cause it's one of those games that doesn't have a game over aspect. It's just it wants you to get through the story and experience the story, which again, story is sufficiently interesting and intriguing and kind of creepy. But after that whole thing played out, I figured I would reopen the door and the little cabinet door, and it restarted that audio cutscene, the story. I was like, oh God, I already heard this. So I just left the room. I followed the girl, the creepy little girl, went down the hall. She ran down the hall, got to the corner. She's at the end, chased her down. I went back downstairs, explored what I assumed was the next room to go to, and nothing happened. Cause, you know, the door was open. I got a trophy for getting into the door and there was nothing to do in the room. Just like, what the fuck is going on? I tried checking all these other rooms. I was like, maybe I missed something upstairs. I went upstairs and the girl was back in that original corner in the hall that she was peeking around the corner. I was like, oh shit. I guess it reset things after that audio cutscene finished, and I couldn't get around her because of the invisible wall.
Oh, so...
So did, I could
Were you able
not,
to eventually?
No. Like, no.
I thought maybe if you just quit out, maybe restarted.
Tried resetting the checkpoint, tried quitting out, restart. The only way I would be able to do this is to completely restart the game. And honestly, I didn't want to. So I did not beat this game, even though from all accounts I've read online, I was very close to the end. Most people are saying the game's only like an hour long. Maybe a little longer, depending on how well you handle the puzzles, which again, none of the puzzles were excessively difficult. I didn't feel it was worth completely starting the game over. Cause it didn't grab me. It didn't, I don't know. Oasis Games, this is their third game out on PlayStation VR. Their first one was an archery game called Ace Banana, which was plenty fun. Their second game was Pixel Gear, which was like the pixel style shooting game.
I loved looking at it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Ace Banana. I loved Pixel Gear. Weeping Doll, not a fan of. I hate doing this, but deny it. There's better games you could get. There's better Oasis games you can get on PSVR. If you want something that is decently easy trophies that you can get and you have $10 to blow, you might want to check it out. I thought the trailers had a lot of promise and the story, it was sufficiently creepy, but there's better stuff out there to get.
All right. Well then,
I mean,
sounds like a buy it for Pixel Gear.
Yeah, it is still a buy it for Pixel Gear.
Just go buy that game instead.
If you already have Pixel Gear, go buy Ace Banana. If you have them both, get tethered, I guess.
Go back, get a different game.
I'm eager to see what else Oasis Games has out. I'm just going to chalk this up to just a miss and hope their next titles are good. But thanks for letting us cover the game. I didn't think this one was a winner. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, not all games can be a winner from a dev. I mean, look at Gearbox. The only games they've ever had that were winners were Borderlands. After that, they flopped on everything else.
I hate giving out deny-its because I know people work their ass off on these games, and VR is such a new and unique technology to have to work with. I just think between the blurry visuals of the game, the overall lackluster presentation. Like, the game has inventory management with like 30 inventory slots, and at most I've had one thing in there. Like, I don't understand if this game was supposed to be a lot more than it was.
I don't.
Or what happened. It's very possible they had to cut stuff to get this out before Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that they wanted to get this game out before the holiday, because after the holiday, people calmed down from the horror stuff for at least a while.
Yeah.
They're kind of like tired of it.
I don't know. Everyone knows I hate giving deny-its, but there's better games you could get on VR, PlayStation VR. So yeah, buy Pixel Gear instead. Because Oasis Games nailed it with that one. Next PlayStation VR game to talk about is called Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
Oh, I want to hear about this so much. I love this game.
Developed and published by Steel Crate Games, it released October 13th, the launch title for PlayStation VR for $14.99. Previously available on Steam and compatible with the Vive and the Oculus, although neither are required on Steam. For the PS4 version of the game, a PlayStation VR is required. You cannot play this game without a VR. So if you were a fan of this on Steam and you didn't have a VR headset, you cannot play it on PS4 without the VR headset. Find yourself trapped alone in a room with a ticking time bomb. Your friends have the manual to defuse it, but they can't see the bomb, so you're going to have to talk it out fast. The way this game works is it is multiplayer required. So I was lucky enough to have some friends come over. I tried it myself and Ashley a few times, then we had some friends come over. This game, when you have a decent amount of people around, it is insanity. It is pure, pure insanity. The way it works is, in the headset, it is you with a bomb on the table. I initially thought you would use the Move controllers to, like, pick things up and stuff. Everything's done with the controller. On the TV, completely separate screen, it just shows a bomb defusing manual. You use a separate controller to, like, flip through the pages. There's multiple different module types from, like, wires that you have to cut, or a button that you have to press, or like a Simon Says type mini game. So many of the different mini games require very, very specific instructions. Like the wire one, for example, there could be 3 to 6 wires. And then as the person, you know, you say, okay, the wires, there's 6 wires. And they're like, are there any blue ones? And you're like, yes, there's 2 blue ones. They're like, okay, are there any yellow ones? Like, no, there's no yellow ones. Okay, what color's the 4th wire? And it's very, very specific, and you have to work this out. And when it starts, there's 3 different modules, and you have 5 minutes to solve it. Which, not too bad. You can have upwards of 11 different modules.
And is it still 5 minutes?
Depending on the stage, yes.
Oh, boy.
There are a number of different difficulties that you can go through in the game. Plus, there's kind of like a free play where you just pick the number of modules you want. You also pick the time limit anywhere from 10 minutes down to 30 seconds.
God, imagine trying to do like even a 3 module in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. The first time Ashley and I played alone was like the 3 modules in 5 minutes. We beat it with 17 seconds left.
Wow, that is
close.
And
she's like trying to go through them like 40 seconds. She's like, hold on, I'm reading.
30 seconds. This is one of the most stressful games that's like fake stress, but you still feel it.
Oh my God, it was terrifying. I'm the only thing I'm bummed about is because we did fail a couple of them. It's going to happen. Because some of the puzzles, like the one, there were like 5 steps to it where you had to hit a certain number based on, like, there's a little screen that has a number on it, and then there were 4 buttons below it, and it would be like, what number's on the screen? Okay, hit the 3rd button. And by like the 5th one, it's like, hit the same button or same label. So whatever number was on the button you pressed as like the first step, and you're like, what the fuck was the first?
Yep, you actually have to write them down. I know this game so well because I've watched it so much.
Oh my God.
People actually write these numbers down, like, in everything.
Yeah, we had to get like a notepad out and keep track of this shit, because my only disappointment is that when there's an explosion, there's just an explosion sound effect and a fail. Like, I wish
it actually blew up in your hands.
I wish there was something that could be, I know you can't really do too much because it's just like a VR headset and a controller in your hand, but like uncontrollable vibration or like, I don't know. I wish there was a way to just really fuck with people.
That, it is an insane game though.
This game is, it feels like required owning if you own a PlayStation VR. But you need to have friends. If you're a solo player, don't even bother, because you cannot play this game by, well, technically, I guess you could like look at the bomb and then take the headset off and
that would be so hard.
But really, what's the point? Like, what the?
Yeah.
There's no fun in that. You need to have friends to play this. And if you have a handful of friends and alcohol preferred, this will be one of the greatest party games in the world. I've had a friend want to play this with me on Steam. I'm like, can you play this without a headset? On the computer versions, yes, because, you know, you can just be like, okay, don't look at the screen. Technically, you could use like a cell phone or a laptop or an iPad or something and just pull the website up that has the manual on it. So
some people just print the fucking pages, yeah, and actually use pages.
Yeah. I can honestly see this as I don't want to say playing this on Twitch because of the delay, but I could see people playing this on Beam.
Oh, Beam, yeah. I could see that working.
I mean,
or streaming directly through Skype to another person.
Yeah, you would need to have people on a Skype or a Discord channel being like, all right, tell us this, tell us this. You're like, okay, I see this. And it's just, this is such an awesome party game. For $15, this is an absolute buy it as long as you have people to play with.
Yeah, that's a definite stipulation with this game, but holy shit, it's so awesome.
This is absolutely not a solo game, but if you've got friends to play it, this is required ownership. So, final PSVR game to talk about is called Windlands, developed and published by SciTech Games, released October 25th for $24.99, a first-person grappling hook exploration game. Soar through the ruins of a fallen world and discover the secrets of the ancients. Windlands appeals to those who want to explore the breathtaking vistas at a relaxing pace, while the challenging routes attract gamers who like to master the skill of soaring through the towering environments at top speed. This is Vomit Coaster the video game, and I love it.
I remember you brought this up last week as like one of the, it was making you sick.
The first time I played Windlands, I think I got 5 minutes and I had to stop. Maybe.
Wow.
Even still, the max I could play is like 10, 15 minutes, but I love every second that I'm playing of it. The description basically tells you everything you need to know. It's a first person game and you just, it's explore. You know, there's crystals to find and, you know, routes that you can take and everything. But I've just spent so much time just like, how high can I get? Can I get on top of that? And chances are, yes, you can. It'll take a while, but you can get up there. Controls in this game are, you use the controller. This doesn't use the move controllers. You use the analog stick to, of course, move forward and backward. There are a number of different comfort settings in the game that allow you to either for like turning where you turn kind of like an 8 degree or not 8 degree, but like up. God, I can't describe it. Instead of like smooth 360 degree rotation, it's like 45 degree, 45 degree, 45 degree. So there's like the 8 different points that you can look.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You were struggling a bit there, but I got it.
Words. They're difficult for me. Imagine like a GameCube controller that has the little guard around it that locks into up or up diagonal, right, down, right.
You're lucky I know what a GameCube controller looks like.
Because you're young.
Yes, I am.
There are also, like, you can change it to smooth rotation, but I could not handle it. There are, you can have a comfort cage surrounding you. There's either a solid cage, a translucent cage, like a bubble around you, or nothing at all. I needed to have the cage around me just to kind of like give you that stationary object to keep focused on to help you with the motion sickness. Ashley, she put the headset on. She's like, I don't like this cage thing. So she turned the cage completely off. And I think she played for like a half hour before she was like, I'm feeling sick.
Wow. She has a stronger mind than you do.
She does. I was impressed. I tried playing it right after her. I think I got 30 seconds and I had to stop.
It looks like she should be coming on and doing PSVR reviews.
I would, but she's sleeping right now. Her problem was like the way you travel in the game is you use a grappling hook. The main goal is to like grapple trees above you and swing around. She would jump and then like aim at the ground and just grapple into the ground. Instead of swinging, she used it to like, she would jump and then grapple to an area and then jump and grapple to an area.
That is so dangerous. I would never.
So she wasn't controlling it the intended way, but it was working for her. So whatever works. Playing the game is such a trip because you know, you just run and jump, and the feelings that you get in your like the butterflies you get in your stomach from just jumping high in the air. And if there was a fan in front of me, it would feel like I'm jumping these high distances, and I'm about to land on these, like Ashley fell the one time and she just started yelling like, oh, I'm not falling. I'm not really falling, but it feels like I'm falling. It is such a trip of a game. For $25, it's a bit high. I might wait for a sale on this one. It's a definite try it. You just, if something like Drive Club was, you know, messing with your motion sickness, this might be one to, you know, be cautious with. Even the beginning of the game says, like, if you're not very accustomed to motion sickness, play in very short bursts, like,
yeah, even the description
bursts.
Of the game says, VR games may cause some players to experience motion sickness. Extremely here. Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't say extremely here, but I can
The locomotion in this game is, it could really mess with people, and it messed with me a lot. And, you know, something like Drive Club, I'd be like, don't bother with this, because I didn't think Drive Club had the gameplay or the experience behind it to really be worth it. This one, it's just such a gorgeous looking world, because it's a very pretty game, stylish wise. Like, it's not a very realistic looking game, but just the bright colors, the open worlds, it's such a cool experience, but it's still hard for me to play. But I'm going to keep playing it.
Yeah, it looks great. I wish I could see more than two screenshots due to the PlayStation Store deciding to only have two screenshots of it.
Yeah, so I'm not going to be playing it for extended sessions, but I'm going to be coming back to this repeatedly. Again, $25 is kind of a high price, but there was a lot of fun to be had. And if you're someone who doesn't really get affected by motion sickness much, you're going to fucking love this.
I assume I'd love it then. I've never Probably. Had a problem with motion sickness.
Final two games to talk about are our friend Uneaten Lake covered Destroyer and Head It for the Vive. He kind of did a joint review of them, so I'll go through the details of both of them now. Destroyer is developed by C-Flat, published by Degisa. I'll never get their name right. Released October 19th on Steam for the Vive for $9.99. The most compelling destruction game made for virtual reality. Use iron balls to destroy mysterious ruins on islands floating in the sky. The limited number of balls means you'll have to play strategically in order to proceed. And then Head It, VR soccer heading game, developed again by C-Flat, published by Degisa, released also on October 19th on Steam for Vive for $5.99. Use your whole body and go for the goal, introducing a soccer heading game for the Vive on Steam. Take a pass from your teammate and head the ball in, beat the goalkeeper to earn points, and aim for the top rankings. So, two distinct games by C-Flat. What does Uneaten Lake have to say?
I don't know. You should.
Listen, bitch. I just talked for how long?
I know you did. Destroyer. You said Destroy It. Is it Destroy It or Destroyer?
Destroyer and Head It.
All right. The first time you said Destroy It, I was like, wait.
Yeah, I might have. I don't know. I'm drunk.
What? Oh, Joe.
I'm Destroyer drunk on Mountain Dew.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. You're going to die one day from that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, Destroyer has you shooting spike balls from your HTC Vive motion controller at various rooms. You get a specific amount of ammo and a certain amount of damage you need to cause in order to get to the next level. The game is over if you run out of ammo before you reach the destruction percentage requested. And once you run out of ammo, the game... Oh, okay. He said that twice. Okay, once you run out of ammo, the game is over. You get a score, and then you have to start over from the first level. Okay, so there's, I guess there's multiple levels, and you have to restart if you,
It's a roguelike.
Oh my god, a first? Is that a first? yeah, that tripped me up a bit, because it was the same sentence, but it was actually continuing to a different point.
Yeah.
The game is pretty simple, but it's still fun to blow stuff up. There is some strategery to finishing levels, as there could be times where you end up having too much debris in front of you, and you can no longer aim at the ruins that are further back in the level. This game is one of the very, very few games where I've had some sort of vertigo. That's not saying that this game is bad, but I personally have a fear of being in a high place or falling backwards. The playing are for the this game.
Playing right. area for this game. All right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. See, yeah, I know
the Vive has the whole room thing going on.
That's understandable. That wasn't me.
Yeah, it's a typo on his end.
All right.
God damn you.
I have to clarify this because I am a sore reader. The playing area for this game has you standing on the end of a huge circle with stairs behind you. I should also mention that this circle is in the sky and there's nothing but clouds below you. I guess you could chalk it up to being realistic enough to give me that sensation when I glance behind me.
So it's like playing playing the PSVR game and Windlands and just looking down as you jump.
Yeah. Terrifying VR stuff. How
Pretty
great.
Much.
Headed has you trying to score goals against the goalie with only using your head to make a goal. The game has 5 different difficulty levels with their own leaderboards, rankings, and scoring. The starting goalie's difficulty level starts off as easy, but gets harder as you increase the difficulty or as you continually score goals. When you start a game, you get 3 misses and then the game is over. The game is enjoyable for someone like me who isn't a soccer player, but I'm sure my nieces and nephews who play soccer would love playing Headed. Both games suffer from what I guess I call last-gen visuals. It's sad, too, because Destroyer would be awesome if the visuals and physics were a bit better and took advantage of what my graphics card could handle. Currently, they look like structures that are demos inside a 3D graphics program. It doesn't kill the fun, but I think it would make it more of a game you show off your... more of a game you could show off your VR when you had friends over. Headed, I think, is probably a better off game, though the graphics aren't the greatest. It makes me wonder how immersive the game would be if you were in a real stadium with real players kicking the ball at you. The skybox is a little fast, and the night-to-day transitions are kind of fast. Bringing this back around, for the price, I would say buy it for Destroyer. If you're a soccer fan, I would say buy it for Headed, and try it if you have friends that might enjoy coming over and trying to get the highest score. Like, not uneven, though.
Sounds good. Yeah, I noticed the visuals for Destroyer weren't really the best looking out there, but I guess as long as the gameplay is fun, like, it reminds me a lot of Boom Blocks on the Wii.
I never owned a Wii.
You piece of shit.
I'm not a guy. You know this.
Yeah, Boom Blocks was awesome, and it reminds me a lot of that. I can see his gripe with the visuals. I think they look older than last gen, actually. Like, this looks like, honestly, it looks like the kind of textures you could see on a early PS2 game.
Oof, early PS2 game.
Have you seen any screenshots for it?
I'm looking it up right now to see, alright, there it is. And I understand what you mean immediately.
It's not a very pretty looking game. Like the background, the sky, the clouds look good, but the actual structures, I think they look pretty rough. As long as the game is fun, I wouldn't really mind it. So if he thinks the game's fun enough to warrant it, you know, rock on. I think, Headed looks a lot better overall visually. It reminds me, I know there's a similar game, Headmaster, I think, on PlayStation VR, but I know Headmaster isn't as cheap as Head It.
No, Head It looks pretty decent, comparatively, I would say.
Yeah.
I can see where you're coming from with Destroyer, though. Destroyer is a little bit rough, but hey, you know, what's fun is fun.
Yeah.
I still enjoy going back to older games and playing them sometimes. So.
Indeed. And again, as long as the gameplay's there, rock on. I'd love to see Destroyer come to PlayStation VR, because I'd love to get that feeling of a Boom Block style game again, where you're just chucking things at structures and watching them fall.
And looking back and seeing stairs and nothing but below you, and then you fall and you get scared. and then you throw up.
Make Ashley play it and pretend she's fallen. Oh my god, it is so fun watching her play VR stuff. She jumps and shrieks at everything. And I'll never get over her climbing the rock wall in Carnival Games and falling and dropping my shit.
Oh yeah, I remember you talking about that.
But yeah, those are the reviews for this episode. We're going to play a little musical interlude, and then we will be back with our interview with, I'm going to butcher the name, Josip. Good enough, right?
Yeah, that's his last name. That's actually how he pronounced it himself. So I'm sure he'll be fine.
Barisic, I think, something like that. So Josip, dude was awesome from Gamepires. Going to be talking about Gas Guzzlers Extreme, available now on the Xbox One. We will have a review for that later on this week.
I already have a spoiler alert for that. It's going to be good.
Is it?
Yeah, I played a couple hours last night.
Nice. And the next week or two of the show should be pretty crazy with the lineup of guests we've got coming on. So I guess final words to end this section of the show is buy Pixel Gear.
Hello,
how are you doing today?
I'm good. Chilling. Weekend coming.
Thank you for joining in with us. We actually had a guest lined up, and I messaged him, and I never heard from him, and I saw you doing the AMA, and I figured, why not? I'll ask, see if he wants to join us.
I'm glad to join you guys today.
So
and that you invited me.
We actually have not had a chance to play the game yet. We did get review codes for it, but we just got them this morning, so we haven't had a chance to play it. So I figure we would just chat with you, and you could tell us about the game and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, of course. So, like, when you saw the game, what's the first thing that caught your eye? What are you interested in?
I was
a giant zombie.
Yeah, murdering zombies in a car is always fun for me.
Yeah, true. You have that a lot. Not just zombies. You have undead buffaloes and hyenas also.
I saw you mention undead buffalo, and I was like, "What the hell is this game?"
Yeah, they're pretty much the most annoying, to be honest. Because like they can like ram you and like send you flying half over the map, and at one point it stops being fun. And I mean, not it's always fun, but it kind of gets sometimes annoying on the next levels. Well, you'll see for yourself.
I guess if we're gonna dive right into this interview, we should do introductions. That, yes. That might
sure.
be helpful a bit. But welcome back, everyone. This is SML Podcast. We have an interview going on right now. CJ and I are here, and we are joined by... I'm not even going to try your name because I'm going to butcher it.
On English, it's pronounced Joseph. It's Joseph.
Another Joseph. Yay.
So many of them.
How is it really pronounced, though?
Josip.
Josip.
All yes, right. That's it. It's not that hard.
I was going to say that, but it would have been more of a Josip instead of Josip. So.
Oh, well, it's actually pretty fine. I mean, I heard a lot of other stuff, so don't worry about it.
But you are joining us from Gas Guzzlers Extreme.
Yep.
And you are here to tell us all about Gas Guzzlers Extreme, about Gamepires, about everything going on, correct?
Exactly that one.
So, for those who don't know what Gas Guzzlers Extreme is, give us the sales pitch. Tell us about the game.
So, in short, Gas Guzzlers Extreme is a car combat carnage game. Try saying that three times fast. It's a combat racing car game, something like Twisted Metal, Fallout, and a lot of old school games mashed up like in one game that gives you the chills and the funs when you try to play it. You have like a lot of game modes. So you have like a lot of game modes that you can play. Sadly, on Xbox One release, we don't have a multiplayer. We can talk that about later. But even the single player campaign and the modes are pretty entertaining for a long time. And like, the fun in the game is to master it. Like everybody can, like you can go into the game on like starting with easy, like everybody else, and you have a nice feel. You can play it, you have fun, but once you get like to the impossible bots, i.e., well, they are pretty impossible, to be honest. They're beatable. People have beaten them, but you need like to learn the game, the mechanics. Really worked on it to get as much of a real feel, but also arcade fun feel, and we kind of nailed that that point pretty good. So it's easy to play. You get into it pretty fast. It's fun, but you need a lot of time to master the game.
So difficulty-wise, on a scale of like Cell Damage to Twisted Metal Black, where are we looking at?
Kind of both, to be honest. Kind of both, because you can really like at one point you can give like a 5-year-old kid to play and he will have fun because he will be first, and like you can play the game for 1 year and you can go play on harder difficulties and still not be able to finish the game.
5-year-old kids, isn't this an M-rated game?
True. You also have like just a pure race mode when you can just like race. It's a normal race without guns. Well, there is crashing and stuff like that without blood.
Where's the fun in no blood though?
well, true. There's none. But don't worry, we have plenty of that, trust me.
It's going to be buckets of blood.
Something like that.
I mean, if you're going to blow up zombies and kill people, you want to see some fucking blood on there, right?
Oh, yeah, but when you get us to the zombie part, don't, if you have a 5-year-old killed, don't let him play that. You can traumatize him pretty much, I think.
Well, luckily, I only have cats hanging around, so I think they could handle it.
Well, they might give you a weird look, but...
They always give me weird looks, so that will be nothing new at all.
Oh, well.
So tell us about the AMA you're doing on Reddit.
Well, I'm kind of new to this, like to Reddit and the AMA stuff. So, when our publisher Iceberg came to me, hey guys, we're doing an AMA. We need somebody of you to be there and to answer questions. And I was like, what is that? Oh, you'll see. Just go there and answer questions. And now I'm like, yes, okay. I got a basic grip of it, and I hope I won't mess something up.
Oh man, they just threw you to the wolves, didn't they?
Something like that.
Some of those people are real wolves.
I'm here. I'm in the office. I passed. In 10 minutes, it's gonna be the 13-hour mark, and I'm here still for the next 3 hours.
Good lord!
Oh my god!
What time is it over there?
It's currently 8 p.m. It's gonna be 9.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're a busy one. 13 hours, Jesus.
Well, it's fun. It's fun, you know. When you love your job, it's not a problem.
True, true. So any kind of fun questions people are asking you on Reddit? I mean, I know I already asked you about how you're going to stack up to horse racing.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah, that was me. I'm that asshole who asked.
the interesting was when somebody asked, sell me your game in a single sentence, and my answer to this, blow off some steam after a hard working day by shooting mini nukes at cars with a blow up doll as your co-driver. Yes, we have blow up dolls.
This game is just getting crazier and crazier as I hear about it.
I know. I've had my eye on it on Steam for a while. CJ, I think you said that you have it in your wish list, or did you?
I actually owned the game, but I just never launched it up. And then it was coming to Xbox, and I heard that
son
I was
of
like
a bitch. How could you not play it?
Because I have 700 games, not that many, but I have 200 to 300 games in my library.
You're the worst.
When am I ever going to find time to play any of them? But now that it's on Xbox, I actually care about Xbox more, so I'll probably play it there.
True.
I mean, I have to play it there. I have my review copy. I have to play it. I don't get a choice now. But
CJ, you had all morning to play the game, and you still didn't play it. What is your problem?
It took forever to download.
We have a guest on to talk about the game, and you didn't play the game yet?
All right, but I didn't know that there was going to be a guest.
That's no excuse. That is it. Give him hell. Give him hell. He deserves it.
Okay, if you want to really help, just when you start a game, just start with impossible difficulty.
Oh boy!
I'm not taking responsibility if you smash something. Just saying that in front.
I'll just change it to easy after a few seconds. Be
you,
like,
you right. Puss.
You can try that one.
man up,
try
CJ.
Impossible one day.
I'm not playing above the hard difficulty because I just suck. For me, it's impossible.
It's great when a game developer has a hard time with his own game.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many we have people in the office who are really, really good at the game, but there are some players that are not developers that just destroy you. They come to, hey, wanna maybe play one game or two with us of Guess God's Extreme? How about no?
Oh man, are there any achievements in the game for playing on the hardest difficulty?
For playing, and to be honest, I'm not sure, but there are achievements. You have to do a certain thing on impossible versus impossible difficulty bots. I don't have those ones, so I wouldn't know really.
Oh, good luck, CJ.
Well, actually, looking through it, that doesn't seem to be an achievement. I think the difference is there's 105 on PC and there's 37 on Xbox due to the limitations.
Yeah, true. I was actually making the art for the achievements. There are less achievements than on PC, but I'm pretty sure you won't be having a easy time to getting them all.
Oh no, but I'm gonna try. I'm that kind of guy. I gotta get all of them. Or at least attempt my very best like no one ever was. Until I do.
You dickhead. Oh, man. So you're still at it for another 3 hours, huh?
Yeah. something like that.
Are you going to be on Reddit the whole time, or are you just going to be like checking people on Twitch to see if they're streaming it and how they're doing?
Oh, pretty much everything.
Have you been popping Reddit's into Twitch streams, checking out people streaming the game?
I was on a stream of Xbox live stream, I think it's called. If I'm not wrong,
XBLA.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, I know those guys. XBLN.
I was there.
And how's the reception been so far? I know the game has a pretty positive rating on Steam. How's the Xbox reception been so far this first day?
Well, it's been okay for the people who tried it, who played it. There's been like few misconceptions about multiplayer, as we don't have multiplayer. And I mean, we kind of never stated anywhere that there is multiplayer, so I'm not really sure why people get mad about it.
I think it's mainly the idea that they thought, because the Steam version did, that the Xbox one would just have it as well.
That's possible, but I mean, we also included on a try for free version, so you can see what you have, what the game offers there before putting your money out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, try the,
it's good to see a trial or a demo, because it seems like a lot of developers are trying to steer away from demos and trials anymore. So
if people don't like the game, they don't purchase it. But if you can't tell, then you gotta buy it to find out.
Well, yeah, that's just like money hungry. That's all it is.
Everyone wants everything and they don't want to pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, we were looking into multiplayer for the Xbox version. And as I was talking to the tech department, all three of them, just like as they told me, the Xbox One platform is like pretty closed, and it's hard to make a system like we have on PC of dedicated servers when people can make their own. They can jump on our servers, or they can make their own servers and like play together and stuff. That was like an issue that we couldn't solve, and we have like deadlines of other projects and everything like that, and we just didn't have the time to put more effort in it, as we are a small team of developers.
Any plans in the future to perhaps update it in?
For now, no. I don't want to give false hope. For now, not. But what we will definitely do is a sequel for Gas Guzzlers 2. When, I can't say for sure, but when we're going to make a sequel, we will the first main feature that we will put in is split screen.
That would be great. So you can at least play with local friends.
That is really important for games like Gas Guzzlers. But on the PC, it would be a problem to put split screen, because people would have a hard time running it. It'd be really demanding. And Xbox especially, you would need a massive visual downgrade to actually implement a split screen.
Unless you make it a Scorpio exclusive. Not that I'm sure you can do that. but do the Scorpio version of the game.
So yeah, we are looking forward to that somewhere in the future.
That's awesome to hear there's already plans for a sequel. I know the game's actually been out for a while on Steam, so... Yeah, really cool to see it come to Xbox.
Well, like we the game is on Steam for 3 years. That's a quite a long time, but like we never would give up on it. Like after some time, just drop like the updates, helping people. We are still active also on Steam. We will be on Xbox, and if anybody encounters any problem, we will try to resolve it as fast as possible and help them out.
I also like that you in the game it costs the same as on Steam, but on Xbox, you also get the addition of actually having the DLC without having to pay for it. Like, it's in the game.
We were talking about that, how to like do all of that. We just said, just put everything in. Just get it out.
Fuck it. Give them everything.
Let the people play it.
That's a really good idea, because, you know, some people can be really gripey about day one DLC.
There's a new game and I already have to buy more stuff.
So we truly appreciate the addition of just making it free on Xbox.
Well, when you look a bit like closer to it, like if we just like released like the core game for, let's say, now it's $25, but if like released it for $15, okay, and then DLCs and everything like that, it still would like look. It's a compliment when people say, "Well, your game is shit when you compare it to Dirt, to Need for Speed, or something like that." That's kind of a compliment to us, because when you take a game that was made by hundreds of people and a game that's made by six people, and they compare those two, that's a plus for us. That's at least what we think so.
For six people, this game looks absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
What kind of done really well dick is out there trying to compare an indie game for $25 to a $60 Need for Speed made by one of the biggest game corporations in the world?
We actually had a spreadsheet somewhere where we compared, like, on in 2013 when it came out, of like visual add-ons and stuff that we have, and in some areas we were like the same, if not better, than some AAA titles.
Man,
this honestly reminds me a lot of like an older Burnout, like just the destruction and chaos, or Flat Out.
Well,
you've played that.
Yeah, that's pretty much that as well.
Man, I like the Flat Out games.
They were so good. Too bad they messed it up with 3.
So, what kind of games inspired the creation of Gas Guzzlers Extreme?
As I joined the core team, like Game Paris a year ago, so I wasn't involved in the development of Gas Guzzlers. But what I talked about them, that they are a pretty old team of like old school gamers, and when they all sit down and would like think about, okay, what game do we want to make, and they were thinking about, hey, there's not really a lot of racing games that are combat racing games. They were in the past and they had awesome fun with it, and they just wanted like, hey, let's try with that, because there are none. And they gave it a shot, and they like it was inspired by Twisted Metal, Flat Out, and like others. Twisted Metal, what's there, Carmageddon, and games like that.
Have you guys tried the new Carmageddon?
I did not,
because I know that got rebooted. I don't know if it's any good though.
I have no idea, to be honest. I can't say.
You should know this. You got to be doing your research.
Scoping out your opponents.
We trusted in you to have this information.
True, but we are kind of working on another project now as well.
We go back a long time, Josef. 30 minutes now? It's been a long time. I expected more.
my children say hi, you know. I don't know. I'm 21. I don't know what children, but they say hi.
21? Jesus, you are young.
Hey, you're still older than me.
Oh my god, I feel so old. 18 and 21, and I'm the 35-year-old looking like a creep. Hey, little boys, how you doing?
You graduated high school. I was still wearing diapers, probably. I don't know.
Pretty much. Oh, shit. I feel old.
Any other new DLCs planned to update to the Gas Guzzlers Extreme on Xbox as well as PC?
No, currently not. We are full-time into our new project. So that, no. We are still here, as I said, we're still here as support, like if anybody runs into some problems, but new content, probably not.
Alright, so we pretty much say this is a finished project then?
Yes.
Nice observation, CJ. Great observation.
We will all support it on PlayStation 4 in 2017 somewhere.
What made you guys go with Xbox over PlayStation to start off?
To be honest, I have no idea. I think they got the kits first for Xbox, and they said, "Hey, let's go with that."
Nice.
Or I have no idea, really.
Well, or they just realized which was a superior system.
I mean, we prefer Xbox on the show. We cover everything. Funny enough, the guy we are supposed to be talking to right now worked on a PlayStation VR game, so completely different genre we're tackling right now.
Pretty much, yeah.
Is
imagine this game in VR.
I was just going to ask, is PlayStation VR something you guys might look at for Gas Guzzlers next year?
Not really. We talked about VR in general, not about PlayStation VR. And I think it would be really fun and pretty awesome, but I think motion sickness would be a big issue.
I know Drive Club VR had some problems with that, and this would probably play similarly as a race game.
Fucking and Drive Forza. Club.
Yeah, that would need a lot of tweaking and stuff to do. But it would be a really fun feature. Maybe when we will make Gas Guzzlers 2, we're going to implement that into Gas Guzzlers VR.
I wonder if something like an overhead, like RC Pro-Am kind of viewpoint would work for a VR style aspect.
Good question.
That way it'd be more of like a stationary view, so you wouldn't have that first person motion sickness feeling.
You have that in... Did you guys hear about Serious Sam? Probably did.
One of our reviewers covered the game, but I only have PlayStation VR, so I didn't get to check it out.
And I don't have any VR.
They actually just like a stationary virtual reality when you just like... You can turn around like and shoot stuff up. I tried it. It's fun. It's fucking fun.
Yeah,
that's what the reviewer said. He fucking loved it.
VR is so trippy. Like PlayStation VR is the first time I ever used it, and it is crazy. My brain can't comprehend that shit.
I mean, I personally don't like too much VR. I played Alien Isolation on Oculus Rift 2 when it came out. And it was just like, it was a bad ecstasy trip or LSD trip.
That sounds like scary as shit.
it was scary. It was. But it's just like, I mean, when a big ugly alien just pops up in front of your face on a blurry screen and starts screaming.
Oh, my Lord.
You don't know if you want to cry, if you want to like throw the whole stuff into the wall, if you want to puke, if you want to bash them. It's just like so much mixed emotions.
Just throw the headset off. Fuck this shit.
Yeah. You should look at Emily Wants to Play VR.
Oh my God.
I got an update for Steam.
Did it? VR. Jesus.
I hope it comes to PSVR and you have to play it, Joe.
Oh my God.
That game is horrifying.
So you mentioned next year it's going to be hitting PlayStation 4. Are you guys going to be adding any extra content for that version? I know a lot of companies, they're like, oh, yeah, you could bring it to ours later, but we want you to add stuff.
To be honest, I don't think we had that issue because I really doubt that we will make additional content. The same that's on Xbox, we will give to PlayStation. But I mean, it'd be kind of stupid like to make additional. If you make additional content, like we just released for Xbox, then released for PlayStation with additional content, I mean, it's only natural that the Xbox community would ask for that as well.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a cycle that we really don't have the manpower or time to do.
Yeah, I just know a lot of times companies are like, oh, well, if you're going to release over there first, you could bring it here eventually, but we want like extra car designs or something stupid.
No, as I remember, we didn't have that problem.
We want you to be able to run over Kratos in the game.
Well, actually,
I would double dip for that. Fuck it.
there is a boss, like in the zombie shooting, when you just kind of need to survive. And on the end of each wave, after wave 3 or 4, I think, spawns like a mini boss. In the bus, and he kind of looks terrifying. I mean, he's big. He has a minigun, a shotgun, a rocket launcher. Does he have a nuke? No. Just those three.
I would love to see a company step up and be like, oh, you have zombies that you could run over and kill in the game? How about this? Put Phil Spencer in, put Major Nelson in, put Bill Gates in. You could run us over. I would love to see a company just step up and do something like that.
Well, it'd be fun. You would probably end up in jail in the like first 3 hours of releasing the game. The game would be taken down.
zombified versions of them.
Well, I mean, if you got approval from the company, like if the company just stepped and was like, yeah, this will be a fun little Easter egg, sneak us into the game. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That's a good idea.
Did you sneak yourselves into the game?
Nope.
Oh, man, you should have done that. We could have been running you over in the game.
Just a fun fact for our next project. We put us in the game as zombies, and then you can shoot us.
That'd be awesome. And make it VR so I could shoot you in person, like, up close.
Maybe.
So you mentioned the next project. Is that anything you can talk about, or is that still kind of under wraps?
Oh, no. It got announced in August. It's going to be a survival. It's going to be a simulation survival shoot-up FPS style game. I know people are pretty much fed up when you tell them, oh, yes, another survival. Woo! Shoot me in the face.
But that's never not fun to shoot somebody in the face.
True.
I wouldn't know how you know that. Let's skip that part, but okay.
We play video games.
Yeah. I mean, that's my life.
Virtually shoot people.
We will. You can check it out. It's called Scum. Scum. Yes, you heard right. It's called Scum. The game.
Is multiple M's or just S-C-U-M?
Just S-C-U-M. Just Scum. Like Scum.
Nice.
I was taken back by that for a second. Like, wait, is that really the title?
It seems like everyone makes such longer and involved titles nowadays to stand out. It's actually kind of refreshing to hear just a short title like Dirt or Grid. Now there's Scum.
Yeah, just something. We want something short, like four letters, that can be like easy to remember, noticeable. Like when somebody mentions it somewhere, that, oh yeah, wait, I heard that somewhere.
This is going to be your Halo and your Doom.
Probably
Outlast.
That's those more than short. Four letters.
Yeah, but it's still short. It's shut like up. It's memorable. What's more memorable, Outlast or Layers of Fear?
True. Very true.
Fair enough.
But what's more memorable, Outlast or Scum?
Well, considering Scum's not a game yet, probably Outlast, but once Scum comes out.
you can check it out. We have a blog. We have a lot of posts and stuff like that.
Any trailers?
The trailer's in the making. The trailer's in the making. It should be out soon enough. We are trying to, like, when after Guess Gazers, when we like, okay, where should we go next? Like, we saw that simulation and survival genre was pretty popular, even though pretty fed up. But we saw a lot of room to improve. Like, when you take, it's going to be for PC only. We're going to consider it for other platforms. We saw a lot of, like, most early access survival games are unfinished and pretty rough. They're fun, some of them. Some of them are pretty boring.
Like Rust, which is pretty boring.
I know 7 Days to Die wasn't too well received either.
Yeah, that game was it got an update on Xbox that made it better. It was like it was much worse with the frame rate and too dark, and they kind of upped the brightness.
But we are going more of Ark, DayZ, H1Z1 style. Just like we're going to have an RPG feel to the game, as well as we're going to have skills, levels and stuff like that. And actually, people will have stuff to do in the game. Like, you won't be just, like, dropped in.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Okay, now go do stuff. No, it's not going to be that like that. You're going to have quests. You're going to have stuff to do. Like, just with the level and skill-based system, you kind of have something to do, like, to level up stuff if you, like, want to go a certain way to make your character. And also, not any character will be the same. It's gonna be impossible to have, like, let's say you two start a game with the same base stats, but even after like 10 hours of gameplay, you two will be different.
Well, that's awesome.
That sounds cool.
Will this game be like those in the sense that you can just kill anybody you see in the online?
Yeah, pretty much.
Damn.
Will there be an option to have like more of a I wouldn't say pacifist, but like just PvE and not PvP?
Yeah, you will have a possible single player, yes.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. I cannot stand being killed by random assholes that just don't like you.
I'm too old for griefers online.
Exactly.
I'm going to kill you and then teabag you.
Shattered Skies, it was just, I'd get killed by random people all the time.
We also want to lean towards not a, like if you die, we don't want to punish you for that, like for, oh yeah, you play like 100 hours. Oh, you died. Oh yeah, well, start all over again with nothing. Like,
so it won't be a permadeath kind of situation?
No, there will be setbacks, but not setbacks that going to impact the gameplay so much that you will want to smash something around.
The more you tell me about this, the more interested I am.
Yeah.
Because so many games like this, they just drop you in with zero direction. That's my biggest complaint with so many survival games, is it's just, here. Okay, what can you teach me how to play at least? Nope. Push buttons, figure it out.
I mean, some stuff I still can't say. I'm trying like to tell you stuff that will interest you without saying something that I can't.
That's okay. No one's gonna hear this.
But it's gonna be a big change in the whole survival scene. Well, we are. It's pretty normal that people like talk shit about it because, well, let's be honest, there is not really a survival game that like lived up to the standards or to the developers that like were at some point. Oh yeah, we're gonna update. We're gonna give you new stuff to do or stuff like that. No, I mean,
you're gonna explore every planet in the universe.
That's what I wanted to say. Like, No Man's Sky is like the perfect example of just being money hungry dicks.
So you're not gonna hello games this?
No, we want
to
go.
Good to hear. And very, very good to hear.
I mean, like, to doing a move like that, it's basically career suicide.
Yeah, the company will be dead. Nobody's gonna support it anymore.
If you do something like that, and like you want to apply somewhere else, in another firm, they're like, you resume, oh, you did. Okay, you did this game okay. You did this game okay. No Man's Sky. Yeah, get out, please. Yeah.
The worst thing is that everybody is so pissed at that game and at Hello Games and at Sean Murray, and he is probably so fucking rich right now from how that game sold.
But let's be real. He could be much richer. If not maybe instant, but he could have much more money, like to a span of like 1 year. He could have in 1 year more money than he now ever would have. If they just were like saying, oh yeah, okay, let's not tell so much bullshit. So we hyped the game, and then like there was some legal issues with that as well, as I remember, with false advertising on a big scale.
Oh yeah, I think in Europe they were going after it pretty hard because of all the like the trailers and the adverts are just showing shit that's not in the game.
Yes, and that was a big problem. I mean, I saw people like that were telling that Sony pushed them a lot and forced them. And okay, let's say Sony like pushed them like insanely to release it for PlayStation, but what's with the Steam version?
Yeah.
Sony didn't. My guess is that Sony didn't have an influence on the Steam version. So what's with that? Why didn't they say, okay, guys, we had to put this out on PlayStation. It's not finished. It's not even close to what it should be. We're going to wait for Steam. Or the thing that they released on Steam could be like in early access and early alpha version of it. And I think that the community would be understanding. I would.
I think the only thing they needed to do was acknowledge their fuck up and just communicate. And people would have given them a lot more slack than them going silent for months. And the only time they made any kind of comments lately was when apparently either a disgruntled employee or someone hacked their account and tweeted out No Man's Sky was a mistake. And then they're like, no, we're back to work.
I heard like when somebody came like to their office physically in the world, to their offices, that they were completely empty. Maybe that's not true. I really have no idea. That's what I read that somewhere.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I mean, like, they came there like not nothing. No people, no no PCs, like empty.
I wouldn't be shocked at this point.
Okay.
Get the money and run.
I remember that Steam had to put a special disclaimer on their site that the refund policy for No Man's Sky works as for any game, that it's not an exception to other. Because Steam's refund policy is that you either have to have the game for less than 2 weeks and less than 2 hours on it. And a game like No Man's Sky, like after about 10 hours you realize that it's shit and that you get dropped. But after that time, oh well, you're getting screwed.
I think I put 2 or 3 hours into it and I'm like, why did I do this?
And you...
What?
Didn't you buy the collector's edition?
Yeah, I still have all the collector's edition shit on my shelf.
That must be painful to watch.
Yeah, it sucks. Hey, you live and learn. I still have Aliens, Colonial Marines, and Duke Nukem Forever collector's edition, so I am a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, that... I don't know, some people are actually a fan of Duke Nukem after updates that came after the release.
Chris loves the game, so...
Yeah, I've heard that they've made the game much better.
I doubt they made it much better. But...
I don't know. Some people also just like the game. And
as long as Scum doesn't become No Man's Sky Survival Edition, I'm excited for it. Sounds really cool from what you're telling us. So,
it's going to be on Steam Early Access.
What kind of release window are you guys looking at?
About summer in the first or second quarter of 2017.
Nice. We will definitely have to keep in touch with you guys when that time rolls around.
Yeah, sure, no problem. We would be glad to be on. The publisher is Devolver. You heard about
them? Ooh, working with Devolver.
Yeah, they are the publishers. And Crow Team, that the guys that made Serious Sam, they are the producers. They are helping us out.
Holy shit, that's some big names.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's going to be awesome. Do you know... do you know if Devolver will be involved if you bring it to consoles? Because for some reason, it seems like Devolver doesn't like going near Xbox.
To be honest, I have no idea how that works. Whatever I could say to you, it would be a lie. I really have no idea. The problem with consoles would be like we're going to have a lot of key bindings and stuff in the game. So we didn't exclude totally the consoles. Like, no, never. But we will need like to sit down and really think about it if it's possible or not, like to deliver it there, because like the limited possibility of the buttons.
Yeah, you don't want it to be a neutered version of the game.
Yeah, exactly. That one
makes sense.
Yeah, so, I can agree. There's a lot of console games that come out that just aren't really worked well with the console. Or with the controller, because it's meant for PC.
Yeah, on this show, reviews that we'll handle were just like, man, you really need a mouse and keyboard for this game.
Yeah, that's quite a few.
I mean, we will see what Xbox and PlayStation will deliver until that time. I mean, who knows? Maybe they will, like... I wouldn't be surprised if they make some, like, mini keyboards or stuff like that for consoles. It'd be a plus. It'd be kind of awesome.
It'd be cool, but I don't think they'll do it now with a keyboard and mouse, because you'd have a huge advantage in multiplayer games.
Oh, God. Well, that would be terrible in shooters.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a platform, a console user. I'm just on PCs, so I'm talking like out of my mind, maybe. But I never understood people who could play like shooters on a gamepad. It, for me, it's impossible.
Peasants like us.
Yeah,
no, I'm actually admiring people who can like that level of dexterity, like to aim properly with that.
It's okay. I suck at shooters
it's not
anyway.
Always, it's not always properly.
That's pretty awesome.
And there's some games that come out that's like, it's just too hard to aim, and you have to play it on PC.
Well, anything that has any kind of aiming to do and controller, I'm out from the beginning. I don't even want to try.
I like
just
my
sit you down with a multiplayer game and force you to use a controller.
Just make it all VR.
Some actually guy played Mirror's Edge on VR.
That would be sickening.
That Mirror's game Edge makes me sick without VR.
Yeah, Mirror's Edge 1 on that was maybe a year or two ago on VR. I think he managed to play for like half an hour until he said, "Okay, I'm done."
That's even an admirable long time.
Yeah, true.
I think the one PlayStation VR game, Windlands, I played for 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah, I got to take this headset off. Because it's just like a free-running, like grappling hook swinging around kind of game. And man, that was messing with me bad.
When we were talking with Crow Team about the Series M VR last stand, they had actually the most time. They were, as I understand, they were working on how to make it that you don't get sick after like 30 minutes of gameplay. That's why they made it stationary. That you're just like in one place and have the controllers that are guns.
Yeah.
And you just like turn your head and shoot stuff up.
Yeah, those are fun to play. I've played a handful of games like that on PlayStation VR, and they're cool. It works well. I don't get motion sick with those. It's just the moving while not moving physically is, I guess that's what messes with people, the whole artificial locomotion thing.
Yeah. But, well, the problems I had with VR when I played some VR games, like I walk around like and I turn my head, and in the same time, with reflex, I turn my mouse, and it just goes everywhere. I mean, that's also a problem of not getting used to it, like from the start. But I guess that's people get used to it.
It's like my wife playing. She'll be running forward, and then she'll look to the right, but still keep running forward. And she's like, "Why aren't I going the way I'm supposed to go?"
yeah, exactly.
Or in a carnival games, there's like a rock climbing thing you could do in there. And she like didn't grab onto the one rock, so her character started falling. So she dropped the controllers and started reaching out to try and grab the wall. It is so funny. I was losing it. Like, I don't care that she dropped $50 or $50 controllers on the floor. I'm just laughing too much to care.
That'd be my first worry. It's like, no, the controllers.
Yeah, fuck it. You could buy new controllers, but you can't get experiences like that just any time.
I can't buy new controllers. I don't have money.
I don't know. That was it last year or before two years? For April's Fools, when Ubisoft made like a video of Assassin's Creed with a Kinect.
Oh, like that. I saw that.
That was such a... I got so hyped for that, and that was such a troll. I didn't know
that they did that.
That was legitimately sad.
You were too young to remember, but I was legitimately sad.
You don't have room to talk.
Yeah, no, it was ironic. I'm aware of that.
Oh my god, that was the funniest thing. Oh my god. Oh man. Well, Yosef, I know we've been talking for close to an hour. I'm not sure if there's anything else that you want to mention with Gas Guzzlers or Scum or anything else that GamePires is doing.
Well, considering Gas Guzzlers, like, I reach out to people to try it out. You have a free trial. So just to see if you hang with it or not. It is for some not. If people are into survival games, you can search up Scum. I can give you the link of our blog if
oh please
that's okay.
Do definitely.
Just a minute.
I'll be sure to include it in the write up when our episode goes live. We stream the episodes as we record them, but then I go through and edit and add music and intros and all that, and we release an MP3 version later on. This will probably be midweek sometime.
Yeah, sure. That
and
sounds awesome.
I'll be sure to include that in the write-up and everything.
Okay, here. There it is. Here's link. You can find some parts of the storyline, what is it about, some fun technical stuffs. Like our studio is based in Croatia. I don't know if you guys heard about our country.
Yeah, I have talked with a handful of developers from Croatia. Some of our favorites are LGM Games, Little Green Man Games.
I know those guys. I know those guys.
Mario and Zeno.
They Starport Gemini.
Yeah,
they have the same publisher for Gas Guzzlers Iceberg.
Yeah, those.
I saw a bundle on Steam that had Gas Guzzlers and that in the same bundle.
Zeno's a trip. I fucking love that dude.
Yeah, we the whole like game development community in Croatia is not that big now, and we all are just man children, as you could say it.
Well, that's why you fit in perfectly with the show, because we are man children as well, except for CJ. He's an actual child.
I am 18. I'm legal. That's my phrase now.
Aren't you guys from US?
Yes. States?
Aren't you there legal after 21?
No, like age of
drinking.
Yeah, drinking is 21, but you're technically an adult when you hit 18.
Oh, well, Jesus, we are. You mean you can't drink like when you're 18?
Legally. Blasphemy.
that's blasphemy to us. Like, Jesus, I couldn't live there.
You could go get sent off to war and die, but you can't have a drink. Priorities.
Like, when you come like to Croatia, the game development industry, alcohol is a big must here. especially spirits. That's a must. Like, every game development company has at least like 3 liters of spirits in their office.
I think that's for pretty much every developer we've ever talked to. So it's definitely not just a Croatian thing. It is a game development thing. You are all drunks.
From my personal experience, I think Polish people are worse. They're Jesus Christ, they're just... okay, back to topic. For Scum, yeah, when you're going to send a link...
Scumgame.com. I don't know if I can remember that. That's pretty difficult.
I encourage people to check it out to see what it's about. And I don't know. I think that's pretty much it. I don't know if you guys have maybe some questions or something like that.
Yeah, not really. I think we covered pretty. I covered everything I wanted to ask. CJ, do you have anything you want to ask?
No, but I am really excited to. I think right after this, I'm just going to launch up my Xbox and play some Gas Guzzlers. I'm ready to kill some zombies.
Yeah, run some fucking zombies over. And animals. Don't forget the animals. There's achievements for running over animals.
You can run over chickens and small cute bunnies.
Yay!
I hate killing bunnies, but I'll do it. I did it in Shadow Warrior 2. I'll do
it for the achievements.
You kind of don't have a choice because, like, I think they made it so that they jump like in front of your car.
Suicidal bunnies.
Yeah, we are sick people. Kind
They're
of.
Rabbits. Just
sick bastards, and I love it.
we have when you finish a game, second or if not first. Then you're like the guy in your car shows middle fingers around. Sometimes when somebody like hits with a gun or something like that, and if he breaks your left glass like on the driver's seat, then he also like shows the middle finger out of the glass. The announcers, we have like Arnold Schwarzenegger announcer.
Oh God,
it's not the real guy, obviously, but
darn,
that
would
like have
been amazing.
Good
guess spot.
Round one, get down.
Something like that. We had actually a contest for the Xbox release. Like, people had to come up with the best like name for bots that it's pun related.
Oh, I left one on your Facebook page, by the way.
No, I didn't see that one.
Mine was Stew Pedasso.
I get it now.
Stupid asshole.
we have a lot of those. What else off the top?
I'll take my first place prize, by the way, because that you're not going to beat stupid asshole. Well,
I think I'm not the guy who will give out the prizes, so I can say if you're going to win or not. To be honest, I'm going to vote for you.
Nice. I have an in now.
You're looking for that name in the game.
You're going to rig it for me. Are any of those names going to make it into the game with like an update or something?
To be honest, I have no idea. Maybe.
That'd be
maybe
cool.
We're going to do it. Or maybe if we have already a fixed amount of names, we're going to see. We will see about that one.
It'd Gas Guzzlers too.
Well, yeah, for that, we have like I have a huge list of what to put in the game, and it's just getting bigger and bigger. It's going to be I'm not sure even how the hell will they put all of it in game, but
it'll
I don't really
be
care.
60 gigs of Gas Guzzlers.
Quite possible.
Oh, man. Yosef, it has been an absolute pleasure talking with you. I thank you for joining us basically out of nowhere. Just a message on Reddit that, hey, you're doing an AMA. Do you want to come do an interview since our guest just never showed up? And you're like, fuck it. Why not? So
sounds fun.
This is probably one of the coolest ways I've set up an interview on the show out of our 230 some episodes. And I'm thrilled you came to chat with us. I am more excited for Gas Guzzlers now than I already was. And I was excited to get my hands on the game.
I mean, when you offered it to me, you literally saw my response. I just put yes like 10 times.
Yeah, your Twitter message, because you know, I'm trying to find people to handle the reviews because I can't do everything myself. And his reply is, let me see here. Yes, 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 yes. So much so.
I wanted to do this so badly.
So chances are your game will be reviewed on our next episode for next Friday. That won't make any sense from when people are actually listening to this, but from when I'm talking to you, it makes sense.
It's true. Make sure to send me a link when that's out so I can also share it everywhere.
Absolutely. I'll actually send you my email on Reddit, and or I could get yours and I'll just send you a line on there. I know I got my codes from Iceberg, so I'm not sure if they're going to pass the messages back and forth or not, but I figure it's good to just keep in direct touch with you guys as well.
I'm going to send you like my mail where you can get me whenever you want. Whenever you need. I also doubt that Iceberg will like be the postman, so you can just I'm gonna send you in the Reddit inbox my mail, so it's not a problem.
Nice. Sounds good. Well, thank you again for coming on. Do you have any final words to end this interview?
Well, thanks for having me. This was my first interview from starting this job. I hope I didn't suck or did something not interviewish.
It was terrible. Not going to air any of it.
Coming that from a person like you, I will take that as a compliment. Thank you. And,
you take everything as a compliment.
Pretty much. Why not?
Go fuck like yourself. You. Thank you.
I don't know how is that a bad thing, but okay.
Looking down when I come back once more, another home.